Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes we get to this moment on Wednesdays, and I just want to sit and soak it in for a minute.
Yeah,
it's kind of our favorite moment of the week
for a number of reasons.
Yeah, and Greg Cosell, who NFL Films joins us on the River Islands guest line, also on our YouTube feed right now. I don't know if we've told him this before, Greg. Do you realize that you sort of represent halftime for us? In other words, like our week has arrived at Wednesday. And we love to use this conversation to kind of put a bow on whatever happened last week, and then we launch ourselves into whatever we're going to do this week. So you're a big deal, Greg.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm just, you know, I sit in my office all day, I watch tape, and then on Wednesdays I get a chance to talk to you guys. Now, for me, it's, you know, a little later in the day, so for me it's 6:15. So believe it or not, after I talk to you guys, I probably won't be here for that much longer, but it's okay. I like talking to you guys.
Yes, Kendrick Lamar, Usher, Michael Jackson, Up With People.
You're whatever, talking about the halftime shows?
Whatever your favorite halftime show is, you're it for us.
Well, I'm glad you didn't mention like Lady Gaga or Madonna or any of those. I'm, you know, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, you tend to skew a little bit harder.
Them by, you know, right. I've been in the stadium for all of them, so, you know.
Yeah, we left out Coldplay, Greg.
Thank you.
Right? Yeah.
I remember in Miami, it was, I think, 2006 maybe. That was Prince, and it was pouring.
Yep.
It was absolutely pouring.
He was out there with an electric guitar in the driving rain.
Yeah. Right. And then, of course, were you guys at the one in New Orleans with the Niners-Ravens?
Of course, with Beyonce and the power outage.
I was not there, but yes, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Wasn't that the it was the power outage for sure, but yes. Was that Timberlake and Janet Jackson?
No. I was at Timberlake and Janet Jackson. That was in Houston.
Oh,
that was the Carolina and New England.
Yeah,
Carolina and New England in that game, and it was super weird because I was in the upper deck. And I was the last one to know what had taken place.
I had no idea what happened.
I go home and everyone's like, did you see what happened at the halftime show? I'm like, no, Justin Timberlake performed. What's the big deal?
I had no idea.
And I thought that the refs during halftime missed an easy illegal use of the hands call there, Greg.
Oh, crying out loud.
Oh, you were just waiting all day for that, you know?
It's what we do, Greg.
You were waiting all day for that one. Yeah.
All right. We've been waiting all day to talk football
all right.
with you, Greg.
I guess it's time to talk Niners football.
It sure is. It sure is. I guess it's a similar question that we asked you last week. We need to ask it again. Why is the famed Kyle Shanahan, Christian McCaffrey-led run game not producing more so far?
Yeah, I think most of it has to do with the O-line. In this particular game, I thought that the two guards did not play particularly well. I thought they really couldn't move the line of scrimmage. You know where it really, really shows up, which is very odd given what they've done in the past, is it really has shown up in the red zone. Because, you know, McCaffrey, 2 years ago when he had the great year, guys, it seemed you got in the red zone, it was automatic. It was a touchdown. You're going to give it to McCaffrey, certainly in the low red zone from the 10 yards in. But McCaffrey, through three games this year, has 13 rushes in the red zone. You know how many yards he's gained on those 13 rushes? He's gained 7 yards on 13 rushes in the red zone. So I don't think this is a McCaffrey issue. I just think that it's so bottled up, there's no space whatsoever.
It's interesting that you point that out in the rush game, because I'm looking at my notes in the pass game, and he's got 4 catches and in the red zone, and he's got 24 yards and a touchdown. Is it just as simple as McCaffrey right now being more effective as a pass catcher than he is as a runner?
Well, that's only true because they're not running the ball well. I mean, they're going to keep trying to run the ball because that's foundational to what they do. You know, here's the interesting thing to me. What's always been a myth, by the way, and people talk about it as if it's a fact, but it's a myth, is you don't need to run the ball effectively to have a play-action pass game. And in the two games that Mac Jones has started, they've actually been more of a conventional play-action passing team. And by conventional, I mean with the quarterback under center. In his two starts, Jones is 13 for 116 yards in the conventional play action where he's under center. Now, they're not getting big plays. That's the other issue. They're not really getting big plays in the passing game the way we expect under Purdy, because Purdy, every year, and he hasn't played a lot of years, but every year, he's among the league leaders in yards per attempt, not because he just chucks it 40 yards down the field, but just the way the pass game works with Purdy, that he hits guys and they run after catch. But they've not really had explosive plays in the pass game.
Greg, let's keep our focus right here on McCaffrey, because there's a little bit of a conversation going on in the Bay Area with regard to what version of himself does he look like, especially when compared to when he was last at his healthiest in 2023. When you're watching him on film, do you see kind of the same old McCaffrey in terms of how he's hitting the hole and what choices he's making when he does get there?
Well, the choices he's making are always hard to know, because in this particular offense, backs are actually coached, certainly for their initial path, for their first 2-3 steps. So I don't know exactly how he's being coached in every run game scheme that they have. So that's a hard thing to know. You can't just, let's say, watch a game on TV and think, oh, it looks like there's a hole there, he missed it. You really have no idea if you're watching the game on TV if that's true or not. And I'm uncertain even watching the tape. I don't think there's anything meaningfully different about McCaffrey. I mean, that's always hard to know. I mean, the good runs he's had look, you know, he has had some 10, 11, 12 yard runs. He looks the same to me. You know, to me, there's just not a lot of space. You know, it's funny. I get the same conversations now about Saquon Barkley, and he's averaging 3.3 yards per rush. And McCaffrey's averaging, I think, 3.4 or 3.5. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with Saquon Barkley. It's always everybody wants to point to the back, and I don't think that's really the case here.
And if you look at McCaffrey in the pass game, and I'm thinking about the big play that set up the game-winning field goal, that 20-yard screen pass, what did you see not only from McCaffrey, but the blockers on that play?
Did he look fine to you? He looked fine to me.
Yeah, it sure looked good.
He almost broke it for a touchdown.
Exactly. So, I mean, when you see that and the play design and the blocking, what really stood out for you on that play, which ultimately set up the game winner?
Let me ask you this. I'm sure when they lose, a lot of fans call and say it's bad play calling, right? Do you get that a lot?
Always.
Of course.
Did anybody call and say that play was a really good play call? I bet you didn't get that call, did you?
Not yet. You probably won't. You're tapping into a human an element here, Greg.
Right. Yeah, you probably won't. Because for the most part, fans have no idea about play calling, because you'd have to be sitting in the meetings all week long to know anything about play calling. But, it's funny. The first thing I thought of, not just relating to the Niners, but I knew I'd be talking to you guys, when I saw the play live on TV on Sunday, the McCaffrey screen, I thought to myself, gee, I wonder if they're going to get calls about that. Was a really good play call in that situation. And I said to myself, nah, I bet that's not going to happen.
I will say this, Greg, by the nature of the 3-0 record and all the injuries on offense, Kyle Shanahan is getting some compliments here in the Bay, even from radio listeners. You wouldn't believe it.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Because I know that he hasn't done well, you know, through his tenure with the Niners.
No.
You know, so it's good that he's getting, you know, the compliment here and there.
He's a habitual underachiever who chokes in the big moments, Greg.
Well, of course. I mean, we know that for sure. I mean, that's just a given.
Yeah.
That's written on stone.
Yet you look at even some of the plays throughout the course of the game, Greg, and I'm thinking about that 4th and 2 when they found Pearsall for 34 that set up the only touchdown they would get. Talk to me about that play, not only the play design, but just how they were able to get Pearsall one-on-one and then the throw that Mac Jones made.
Yeah, there was no genius to that play call. I mean, they lined up Pearsall in a plus split to the wide side of the field, and he Clark almost didn't seem ready, the corner, but the point is Pearsall got on top of him right away and made a great catch on a pass that was just ever so slightly underthrown. So there was no magic to that play call or to the dynamics of the play. They threw a fade route to Pearsall. It's a gutsy throw. That's the thing. I mean, you know, to throw a fade on 4th and 2, that's a gutsy throw. So, you know, you got to feel pretty good about that when you turn that loose. But there was no, you know, it wasn't as if it was a really cool concept, you know, three-man route concept, cool stuff. You know, he just threw a fade ball to Pearsall. And, you know, I do remember that last year you guys asked me about Pearsall literally on a weekly basis. And I told you I really liked him as a receiver. And, you know, he's clearly coming on. He's doing what I thought he could do in this league.
No doubt. He looks absolutely fantastic, and everybody's noticing it now. I mean, I would love to hear maybe an even more sort of an expansion on that conversation, though, based on what we have seen in these three games with this offense, with two different quarterbacks. Like what are you seeing right now from Pearsall that feels kind of sustainable?
Well, what I think Pearsall has is I think he has really good short area quickness and burst to separate at the top of his route stem. Because if you notice, he catches a lot of balls where it looks like the defender is really close. But in the NFL, if you just create a yard of separation, you're open in the NFL. And he's able to do that. He just is able to burst out of his break at the top of his route stem and creates just enough separation that if the ball is properly placed, he catches the ball. And I would expect him to continue to get better and better. It wouldn't surprise me if, depending on the route concept and the throw, if you start to see even a little more run after catch. I mean, think about it was last year, I think, was it against Tampa where he caught maybe a 45, 46-yard touchdown, if memory serves me correctly, where there was run after catch?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it was Tampa.
Yeah.
I know it was last year. But, I mean, I think you might see more of that as he continues to progress. Don't forget, he's in his second year?
Yep.
And his you know, and obviously, you know, had the tragedy. And so, you know, he's just, to me, developing as a player.
We saw Marvin Harrison Jr. with a little yards after drop on a big play that could have, I think, change the course of the game. What happened to the Niners coverage-wise on that big play where Marvin Harrison was wide open and couldn't catch the football?
Yeah, well, they came back to the exact same play later in the game, by the way, and he caught a 32-yarder, as you might recall that play. It was the exact same, basically the exact same play call. What it was, just so you know, is they ran a double post deep crosser combination. That was on the on both of those. The second one was a single post, but the bad drop came on what we call a double post, two post routes opposite Harrison, and he ran the deep crosser, and they were playing cover four, and there's a void in the coverage there. It depends, you know, how you choose to play the coverage, but what happened was is Green and the corner Pinnick, they reacted to the two post routes because they had to react to the two post routes in cover four. So you're really asking your underneath coverage to get involved in that, or you're going to ask your other safety to the side that Harrison started from to match him and run with him. They may not play it that way. If they don't play it that way, then he's in a void. If you do play it that way, and I don't know the answer to that because different teams play it differently, then that other safety who would have been Siegel, then he would have to match him. But I don't know that. But the point is, he's in a void in the coverage. That's a stress point in the coverage. Every zone coverage has stress points, guys. So sometimes when you see a big play like that, it always looks like, oh, my God, they screwed it up royally. But every zone has stress points. And coordinators know that. Defensive coordinators know that. They try to prevent the stress points from being a problem. But sometimes you get the right play call, and it just defeats the zone coverage.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us as he is every week. I'd love to dive even deeper into this 49ers secondary, Greg, because not just plays like that. You know, there have been receiver drops by the Saints, by Cooper Kupp with the Seahawks as well. I'm also noticing, and this is just a stat, but the Niners don't have an interception yet this year. If I just ask you on tape, how does the secondary look? How would you answer that?
Well, I think it's a work in progress because you have different people playing different positions. You're playing someone you brought in Pinnick as a free agent. You're starting a rookie in Siegel. Okay, Green is playing for the first time. He always plays on one side, and Lenore plays on the other. Lenore is playing on the outside full-time for the first time, really, in his career. He's played on the outside before, but this is full-time. So I would view it as a work in progress. The interceptions are not necessarily a reflection of whether you're playing well or poorly. So I wouldn't look at that as a meaningful number right now after three games. But I think it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress. You have to work together on the back end, particularly when you play zone. You have to understand how to, you know, sort of match, carry, deliver. That's a term that's used by coaches in zone coverage a lot, where you match routes, you carry them to a certain point, then you deliver them to someone else. So all those things have to be sort of worked out as you play more and more and see different route concepts. So I would view the secondary as a little bit of a work in progress.
And they might have a tough task coming up against Jacksonville, where Brian Thomas Jr. He's a good receiver, I think, but he's only got 7 catches. What have you made of Jacksonville this year with 11 different players getting a target last week against Houston?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, I would look at their offense much more as, you know, as Lawrence. Lawrence, and I think Liam Cohen is finding out what Lawrence is and what Lawrence isn't. You know, they work a lot to the two-man boundary side with routes, two-man routes to the boundary. Lawrence is not necessarily a great progression reader, so you've got to work to what he is. You know, Thomas has a ton of talent. Look, you saw that late in the game when this week when the Texans went zero and he hit him on the slant. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Thomas. He's had some uncharacteristic drops, and I think that's what people focus on because he had one, might have been week one or week two, I forget. Then he had one this week as well. So he's had clearly some uncharacteristic drops. But you can't go into a game thinking that he's not a big time player because he's big and he can run and he can get over the top of you. But, you know, Lawrence, you want to be able to rush, get bodies around Lawrence. He's always struggled with bodies around him because he's a strider as a thrower, and he needs space. And so if you get bodies around him, he tends to rush his delivery, and that leads to inconsistent issues with ball location. So you really want to get people around him. Certainly, obviously, in must-pass situations, it's always different if it's first down when you're not necessarily playing pass.
Greg, we might have buried the lead too, but it's relevant to what the Niners are going to do next. Like, Nick Bosa's gone. So for three quarters, what did you see the Niners pass rush do, and kind of how effective was it? What can they do going forward now without him?
Well, it really wasn't bad, to be honest with you, but what they did a couple of things. But for the most part, when they stayed with their four down, they stayed with what they were doing with Bosa, which means that they had Williams inside. He moved inside along with Gross Matos, and they just had Sam O be the guy who replaced Bosa. But they also did a couple of other things where they lined up Huff is kind of a stand-up joker. They put Williams as a zero technique. They started to move people around to try to get different and multiple front looks. They even had a snap of 3-2-6 dime where they had three down linemen with Warner and Winters on the field because they don't want to take Winters off the field. I think you'll see Saleh do different things that just try to show different looks and create better pass rush opportunities. But I think when they line up in a must pass situation with their down four, I think it'll just be Sam O replacing Bosa, and they'll stay with the general concept of rushing the quarterback.
And when you look at the Jacksonville rush game, and Bashal Tuten has been really impressive, and Etienne's been able to get some yards, how do you think the Jacksonville rush game will match up against a Bosa-less Niner front?
Well, the Niners have actually not played the run poorly this year. They've played it much better than they did a year ago. I mean, they're giving up, and they've played close games for the most part. So, they're only giving up 140 yards rushing per game, which is not a big number by any means. And I would say that the run game for Jacksonville, sure, you've got to defend it, but last week against a good Texans defense, they didn't rush for a lot of yards. It's not a dynamic run game, although obviously ATN can break a long run because he's fast, and so is Tuten. So obviously that's a potential concern, but their run game hasn't necessarily been consistent. It's not the kind of run game where you think, wow, that's the foundation, and if we don't stop the run, man, we can't win this game. They're not that kind of run game.
What is the foundation for Jacksonville?
That's a great question. Don't forget they got a new coach. They got Liam Cohen.
Yep.
So you're seeing a lot of principles of he came from the Rams initially, and what the Rams offense looks like. So what you're seeing a lot of is you're seeing reduced splits. You're seeing pre-snap movement. You're seeing play action. You're seeing the things you're used to seeing with the Rams. Lawrence has been really bad on play action, really bad. Huh. So they're working through all this. It's three games. But, you're going to get a ton of pre-snap movement. In three games, they've had pre-snap movement, meaning shifts or motions, on 75% of their offensive snaps. So, you got to decide how you want to play that. Do you want to adjust to movement? Do you want to stay static? Robert Saleh's got to decide, and he's got a lot of experience, playing pre-snap movement, how he wants to play it. So, but their offense right now is clearly kind of an up and down, inconsistent work in progress, and Lawrence has been very inconsistent.
Greg, great stuff, and there's a lot of football coming up here in this town over the next, week and a half or so. Like, when we talk to you next week, it's going to be on
the
night before Rams-Niners. I can't wait for that conversation.
Rams-Niners, wow, that should – well – the bottom line is there's 17 games that teams play, right? 17?
Yeah, yep. That's what I'm told.
We've played three, right?
That's right.
I believe the record's 3-0 as we speak right now.
Also fact.
Sounds pretty good.
So, I mean, when you get all these injuries, I mean, you're playing your backup quarterback, the goal is to win the games. Coaches will never tell you, even if you win 40-10, do you know any coaches that will tell you they played a perfect game? No, coaches don't talk like that. So the point is to win the games, however you can win them, and then you keep coaching and you keep hoping you get better.
We are told on this show that you play to win the game, Greg.
I believe that's true. You play to win the game.
Oh, so
hello.
Good.
Hello.
Yeah. Greg, thank you. Great as always.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much. Love being with you.
Yeah. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.